is how many message believers, because she went to school with message believers, going to a Christian school. She taught in a Christian school, and she taught message believers and their children and everything. So there's a lot of message believers. And so there's been a lot of the Bride of Jesus Christ been praying for Nahum. And so just thank the Lord, you know. God puts us in a pathway, and we don't know why. But, you know, there were people talking about Sunshine and what a blessing she had been and everything. And the other day I was thinking, you know, the Bible says, cast your bread upon the waters, and it'll return to you. So we never know why we cross people's paths, but, you know, sometimes God has a greater plan we don't see. But I thank the Lord for him touching him, and y'all just continue to pray for him. And we just believe that one day he'll be old. So, and about a year, a half to 2 years ago, I had a man at work. He's a good Christian man, but he came to me one day and asked me, he said, I want to talk to you for a minute. And I said, sure. So we were off, and he began to talk to me about some things that was going on in the plant. And he said, I didn't just ask anybody. He said, I asked people that I had confidence in their prayers. And he said, I want you to pray about it. So I did. So we started praying. I got prayer cloths, and I took them to work, and I put them in the plant. For the last 2 years, we hadn't seen anything change. It just seemed like the... But I want to thank the Lord today that the last few weeks we've really started seeing changes take place. Things started changing, and you know, it's just you ever, you know, we talk about it in different times. You look at things and you wonder, you know, you pray for things, and then when things happen, you're shocked that they happen. And sometimes when they happen, you know, because you see something and it's been so long that you've been waiting on this, that you're actually thinking, you know, is this April Fool's? Or, you know, it's like, you know, it's a shock to you. It's like, am I really seeing this? But to begin to see the things that's taking place, and it's just amazing how God works. And, you know, you just stand faithful. And I talked about, you know, praying. And this morning I was on the roof working on some stuff, and the Lord reminded me. He said, do you remember those prayer cloths you put down here? And I had totally forgot about all of them until that moment. The Lord brought it back to me. He said, you put those prayer cloths there. He said, you've been waiting. So I thank the Lord. And I also told Brother Bob, I've been waiting on getting a promotion for a while, and getting a pay raise. And it's it made it halfway through the process, and it never got any further. And they've been dragging their feet for a while, and everybody's like, well, you know, we've been trying to help you out, trying to get. And it's like, you know, I didn't worry about it anymore. I just put it in the hands of the Lord. And I just want to thank the Lord. It finally did come through. They finally quit dragging their feet. But, you know, it comes in God's time, not in our time. So I just want to thank the Lord for that tonight. Those all blessings come from him. Amen. So let's all stand this evening. And we're going to go to Psalms 34. Back when we were looking at before. Psalms 34, verse 1. And I want to talk about, as we were talking about last time, we were talking about eating. So we're going to be talking about eating again. So we're going to talk about taste and see that the Lord is good. Because the Lord is good. You know, sometimes we don't know why things go, but you know, God works it out perfectly in his time. Amen. So let's all bow our heads, and we'll just speak to the author, and then we'll read the scripture. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, Lord, to be in your house again. Lord, we're just so thankful, Lord, for all that you've done for us. Father, we see how you work, and Lord, sometimes it takes a while, and sometimes we wonder, why it takes so long or what's going on. But your prophet told us, Lord, that sight and time was the biggest hindrance that was had to the plan of God. And, you know, we get so worried about things, but if we just have simple childlike faith and put our trust in you, Lord, and just leave it in your hands, Lord, we know that you will work it out. And Father, we just pray tonight that you come and, Lord, speak to us tonight through your word. And we just pray that you bless the reading of the word, Lord, and everything that is said. Father, just give me the words to speak to the people. Lord, let it not be my thoughts, Lord, but it be your thoughts. And Father, we just pray that you touch each one that has a need here tonight. Father, for the ones that are watching in, Lord, the ones that will be watching later, Lord, for each one. Lord, for your bride around the world, there's many that have needs, Lord, that need touch in the body, and Lord, need financial help and all the different ones. Lord, I just pray that you minister to each one. Lord, you know what they have need of, and just bless in a special way. Bless our service tonight. Lead us and guide us in all things that we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Psalms 34 verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto me and were lightened and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. That fear him. Amen. So God bless you tonight. That's the end. Amen. Amen. Y'all have your seats. God bless you. Amen. But last time we were talking about the scripture, and we were last time talking about the we began to talk about the manna that fell in the wilderness and how God gave to the people what they had need of, and it was perfect for their time. And you know, even though it was perfect and it was exactly what they needed, you know, the people began to murmur and complain about it. And, you know, there was a conditions on what they had to do to harvest or reap the manna that fell every day. And, you know, they couldn't hold it over, but they had to go out every morning and get it. And, you know, and it becomes such a common thing, but it was a supernatural event that took place in their lives. And, you know, they began to murmur and complain to Moses about what was taking place. And, you know, God was blessing them, but they didn't see it as a blessing. But, you know, God told Moses to tell Aaron, and he went out and told Aaron, he said, you take up an omer of this manna, and he said, you put it in the holies of holies there with the Ark of the Covenant, and he said, you know, you store this up. And it was a memorial. It was a covenant unto the people, and that every generation beyond that, every priest that came to into the priesthood was able to eat of that original manna. And so they were able to go in, and that manna was in there, and the manna, as in the beginning, the manna would rot if they tried to hold it over. But when it came into the Shekinah glory in there with the Ark of the Covenant, then it lasted forever, and it never did cease, and it never rotted, and it never went out, but it was always full of manna that was in there. And so every time that they would go in there, they were able to get exactly what they had need of. And you know, when you look at the Ark of the Covenant, you know, it's called the Ark of the Testament. And you know, it was a testimony, because in the scripture, God tells Moses, he says, no, this will be a covenant. This is going to be a testimony to the people. See, the people were the ones that broke God's word. They didn't believe God. It wasn't that God wasn't faithful to them. They weren't faithful to what he believed. And you know, when you go back into the scripture and you read the scripture, that, you know, they were the ones that God told them what to do and how to do it. And, you know, and he told them that when you're coming up and you're on this journey, he said, you know, you follow what I tell you to do and what Moses is going to tell you to do. And, you know, but they began to get lax and they began to get cold in what was going to take, what was taking place. And they wanted to do their own thing and they could never get Egypt out of their mind and out of their view, but they never could get in view what God had in store for them. And you know, here they are when God began to talk and you know, they were afraid because Moses had spent so much time in the mountain getting the law and God was speaking to Moses and giving the word, and they were so lax in their behavior and their doings that they didn't even care that, you know, they began to worship idols and, you know, they had a golden calf and began to act just like all the people that were around them and just began to act like, you know, so like worldly and everything. And they didn't even care about what God was doing, that God was trying to lead them. And in the midst of all that, you know, Moses got mad and he took the tablets and he broke them on the golden calf. And, you know, then he had him crush it. And then, you know, he added it to the water and made them drink it, you know, because, and then God took him back on the mountain and he gave him another writing of the law and he brought the other law down to him, and you know, and then he put that in the Ark of the Covenant, and that ark, when it stayed in the Ark of the Covenant, see, that was a testimony. Why? Because every single time that they looked upon the law, those tablets that laid in there, that was a rebuke to the people, because the original ones were broke because they were out worshiping idols. And so here they are, they had this one, and then when they were in the wilderness and they lacked food and they were, you know, worried about how they were going to get through and what God was going to do to them and how God was going to take care of them, and they were so regarding God, how they just were so disrespectful and didn't have faith in what God was trying to do for him, and not honoring God in their walk and conduct, everything that they done. And here they are, God was trying to feed them manna, and they failed to believe what God had to do. You know, every time, even when they needed water, everything that they had need of, God met their needs, and he took that omer and he put it in the Ark of the Covenant, and that was because it was a testimony against them. It was a testimony that God was faithful to them, but it was a testimony to them, it was a rebuke to them, because they did not believe. And when he took Aaron's rod, it was because they did not believe that God had called Aaron and the Levites to be the priest and to the position that they were in, that they did not respect and believe what God had told them. And so he made the test and he told them, he said, okay, that's fine. He said, each tribe has a rod, and they were supposed to put it in the Shekinah glory. And he said, then what it'll prove to you. Why? Because each tribe had to bring their own stick. They had to bring their own rod, and he said, you have to write your name on it. And so they placed it in the Holy of Holies in there, and then God came down and he manifested, and so he chose, showing the people which one that he had chosen was, that it was Aaron that he had received him. And so he caused the rod to bloom and bring forth almonds to prove to the people that that was God's choice, because each one of them had brought a dead rod in there and there was no life in it. Why? Because they had handled it. They knew that it was dead. They knew what it was. They put their name on it, so they knew that it was dead, and there was no, you know, it wasn't some kind of cheap magician's trick, but it had to be the supernatural take place, and it budded and it blossomed and it brought forth those almonds. And you know what? When it was stayed in the Ark of the Covenant, you know what? It never did lose its almonds. It never did lose the blooms. All of that stayed right there. Why? Because it was a rebuke to the people, but it was a testimony to God, to the people, that God was true to what he said he was going to do. And every time that the people wanted to come against God, you know, he always rose up and he always tried to show to the people and prove to the people what he was going to do. When every time they asked him to, he was always faithful to them. He never was against them. They were always against him. They couldn't keep their mind on the right thing, and they couldn't keep their mind on the journey and the overcoming, because they were so tied up with all the things that was taking place all around them. But so when all of this took place, then when they come to Kadesh Barnea, then it come to the final judgment, they had to come up and make a decision whether they were going to go over or not. And when all that God had done through, you know, taken care of them, and nobody was sick, and their clothes didn't wear out, and all the things that God had done through them, and they show, God showed them all the way through how faithful He was, and He made a witness to them with the pillar of fire and the cloud and everything that took place, the brazen serpent, everything that took place. God was faithful to them, and they failed to believe what He had to say. And so when it come to that place, then judgment came on them. Why? Because that was all God could do. God can only bring you so far, and then you face judgment. And so that's what happened. They come to a place that when they gave up, then that's God, all God can do. He said, your carcasses will rot out here in the wilderness. He said, but your children, he said, your little ones who you think will be a prey, he said, they will rise up and go in and take the land. So he rebuked them, but you know, he brought them all the way, and he tried to show them what he was trying to do, and he was faithful to them the whole way. And brothers and sisters, God is faithful to us. He's always been faithful to us. But the problem is do we believe? Do we have our mind set? Do we have our heart set? Are we completely sold out to what God has done? Have we completely sold out to God's plan? So each time, as we were talking last time, each time the priest came to age and was able to enter in to the priesthood, then he was able to go back in there and eat a part of that original manna. Yeah. You know, what a wonderful time that, you know, when this man was able and had went through all of his training and all the things that he had went through in his life, he come to this place, and then he was able to take part of this supernatural, this amazing thing that was there that, because many times, you know, it was just something that, hey, we talked about these things and we've heard about these things, but you know, all of a sudden it became really a reality to him that he was able not only to see it, but he was able to taste that. And you know, and then, you know, begin to put in your mind those, all of our ancestors, they were back there and God brought them out through a strong hand, and he brought them through all these miracles, and he brought them all this way. And you know what? They failed to believe. They failed to come in. And they are able to eat that manna. What a wonderful thing that to be able to eat that. But you know, Brother Brown talked about, you know, that in time, you know, when Jesus came and died and the veil was rent, then we know that the access was open. It was not just to the priest back then as the veil was closed and everything was shut off. But when the veil was rent in two, then there was access to everyone, because through the new birth and the body of Christ, as we come into the body of Christ, then we all have access to that. And so when you enter into that, then there's always access to that manna, that Word of God is always available. And so it was just, so not like back then where you could only come at a certain time or whatever, but now it's day, night, whenever, and we can come boldly before the throne, and we always have access to the Word, because now we've all became priests and kings before God, that we can all have access. And so now we all can partake of this manna. So the Word of God has been open to us, so we all are able to partake of this manna, this supernatural word that God has blessed us with. But like he said, you couldn't hold over. You can't hold over. You know, because, you know, there was a message that was in the past, and every age has had its message, and God has blessed each one. But you know, when it comes to our day, then you know, God has opened up everything in our day. And, you know, the opening of the Word is coming our day, and you know, so many people, as you know, they've probed and tried to understand things, and you know, they can only see just a portion, because God had allotted a portion to each one. But praise God, in our day, God has opened the Word to us that we can see what God has done in the past, and we understand these things. But we understand what God has done in our day. That God has opened up the full Word, that we're not trying to figure things out or trying to have guesswork or, you know, trying to take educated guesses or anything. But you know, we've heard God speak in our day, and you know what? He began to answer the questions that were in the Scripture that were hidden all the way through the ages, and that other ones could only probe at, or they could only look at. But you know, then God began to open these things up, and now we can see that the full revelation has come in our day. Yeah. But the thing is, it's the same thing. The manna has fallen, but the problem is do the people want to come and receive? See, the manna has fallen, so the Word of God has been opened, but the problem is He can only put the manna out there, but the problem is do you want to receive it? You've got to come and receive from it. And then we begin to talk about, you know, receiving the Word. You know, when the angel told John, he said, come and go eat the book. And he said, you know, he said, give me the book. So, you know, he had to go up there and he had to tell and take the book from the angel. But he had to tell him, I'm going to take the book. Give me the book. But he just couldn't take the book. He had to eat the book. He had to become the book. So when he began to eat the book, then it began to work inside of him. So the thing is, brothers and sisters, that's what we have to do. We have to eat the Word. We have to take on the Word, receive the Word to become the Word. And you become the Word as you receive the Word. And so this is our day to receive the Word. Not just to say that God sent a prophet in our day and God has opened these things. But the thing is when we have, you know, 1,100 sermons and we have it in every kind of form of media that you can think of. And, you know, people still don't want to take time to listen. And, you know, everybody, you know, and it's just like you can't just cherry pick what you want. You know, we just don't have, we don't, because when he said you had to eat the whole book, then, you know, it wasn't just we're going to leave it a little bit out here. We're going to trim the crust off or whatever. You know, we're going to eat this or what. No, we got to take the whole book. We got to take all of it. And so, you know, we can look in and try to, you know, take our portion and, you know, try to put a little slant on it this way or that way. But you know what? That's not ever going to, that will only produce death. Amen. The only thing that's going to produce life, he said, man shall not live by bread alone. He said, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so it's every word that God has spoken in our day. And that's the only thing that's going to bring you eternal life. Because, you know, many people, you know, they just want to take what they want and they just want to leave the rest of it. But let me tell you, brothers and sisters, if you're going to leave something behind, you'll be left behind. You will not make it through, because if you plan on going in a rapture, you better make sure that you have all of it. You have all of it, that you have walked in everything that God has told you to walk in and has showed in the light God has showed you. Because you know what? Everybody thinks we're in a race against somebody else. We're not in a race against anybody. Brothers and sisters, you've got to be faithful. I have to be faithful to what God called me. I can't be anybody else. You can't be anybody else. But we got to be faithful to the call. Gifts and callings are without repentance, but the calling that we've received in our day, we have to be faithful to that calling. God has called us to, and so I'm not trying to be somebody else, and I don't want anybody else to, and God help anybody to try to be me. But let's just be what God called us to be. I don't want to be nobody else. I want to be what God's called me to be. Let's be faithful. You know, so many people, you know, they spend all their time looking at other people. They're looking around and they're saying, well, you know, what about this one or what about that one? And, you know, we get our eyes so many other things. You know, as Paul said, you know, laying aside all those weights and the sin that so easily beset us, let us run this race. God has called us to a race to run, but so many people have got their eyes on everything else. Their peripheral vision is so full of things that they don't realize what are you actually focused on? What are you focused on? And we need to focus on what God has called us to. Let's be faithful to that. We need to be faithful. We need to, because God didn't call us to be in every place and do all these things. God called us to be one place. You know, how do you plan on being, if God called us to be soldiers, if you're a soldier in the army of God, if God's called you to a place, you know, tell me anywhere. Brother Donnie was in service, and I don't know if anybody else in here was serving, but I know Brother Donnie was. But you know, when they assign you to a place, they assign you to one place, and you got one leader. And you ain't, and they ain't got nobody that just, you know, they're a hopscotch running, you know, Easter bunny running all over the place, jumping from here to wall, you know, everything. No, they got one place to be. You've got one place, and you that's your place that you're in this company or platoon or whatever, and you're assigned to this division or whatever, and you've got so everybody when they come looking for you, they know exactly where you're at. Why? Because they just follow the line and the hierarchy. And that's, they know exactly where you are. Well, see, the thing is everybody wants to be wishy-washy and they want to run here and there and do all, how are you supposed to be in the army of God when it don't even make sense. It's like, everybody, I ain't happy in this church. I'm going over here. I ain't happy in this church. I go over there. I ain't happy there. I'm over there. And there's bounce around here, yonder. Everybody, what church are they in this week or wherever they at? And it's like, now I don't even go to church at all. We're in the mystical body of Christ. So we're just going to sit at home. How is that? Because all through the scripture, there was always a divine order. Well, there's always a, then how is it that, I don't have to fit in. I mean, even the prophet said that Brother Neville was his pastor, talking about Brother Neville, I'm not going to sit under nobody. I'm sorry to tell you, but there's no lone rangers in the gospel. Everybody wants to be, they want to be all on their own, and they're going to do it their own way. Well, you're just playing games. You're not actually, because there's a divine order. Because everybody has to have headship. And so if you're going to be and grow, because you watch people, there's always they people can know the quotes. And they, you can have all the pictures. You can be full of head knowledge. But the problem is somewhere the way light's going to cross your path. And you're going to turn the word down. Because people struggle with that to understand that, I have to have a pastor. Unless you're a pastor, you got to have a pastor. That's the only way that you're going to make it. I'm sorry everybody thinks they're going to be Superman and they can do whatever they want to. They got it all figured out. No, you don't. There's a divine order to how these things are going to take place. And Because he said, the scripture tells us, Ephesians 4 tells us that it's going to take a fivefold ministry, that it's going to take a fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the saints. And without a pastor and without a fivefold ministry to perfect you, I don't care what you say. You can stand up and say, well, the Holy Ghost is going to perfect me. Well, it's going to take you, because let me tell you, brothers and sisters, if you don't have confidence in man, then how are you going to trust what God has said? People talk about, I have faith to move mountains. I have faith. I have all kinds of faith I can do. But you know what? You don't have faith to believe that God can speak through another human man. You think he can speak through the human flesh. You don't believe that the same Holy Ghost that fell on the day of Pentecost, that fell as cloven tongues upon 120, and Peter and them began to come out and speak the word and began to point back to what was spoken by the prophet Joel and began to express all the way through exactly what Jesus told them that would take place, then you don't believe that that same Holy Ghost can speak through a man today. Because you know what? We're just going to stand back and we're just going to play and we're just going to get behind our little shield and stand back here and we're going to say, well, I'm just going to listen to the prophet. Yeah. Well, you know what? There's part of what the prophet had to say that you don't have to. We just move that to the side. I'm sorry, but it's sad because people do not realize what God has blessed them with in this hour, and people do not want to receive that. Because all they want to do is point back and say, would you see that brother over there? He failed. That brother over there, he preached false doctrine. That brother over there, he done this. And that's all they want to do. They just want to look at scarecrows. But when you want to point them back to some brother that stood behind the pulpit and has preached the word and not has ever had to step back and make corrections of what he had to say, and he's always stood there and been faithful for 40 years, nobody wants to listen to that.
Because you know what? They don't have any confidence in that. Oh no, he's just intellectual, or he's just this. But you know what? They don't want to say, hey, you know what? God has been faithful and spoken to somebody. And you know what? Then they just want to duck their head and, you know, no, I don't want to talk about them. But let me tell you something. You know what? This is a late hour, and you've got to have confidence in what God has said. And you know, the prophet never contradicted what this Bible had to say. This book right here is what's going to get you through. And you know what? Brother Branham didn't come up with his own ideas. Brother Branham didn't just come up with something out of some fairy tale or whatever. But you know what? The angel of the Lord began to speak to him, and the Lord showed him what was in this book right here, and he began to open it up. The problem is you and I have got to get in the same spirit. We got to get into the same anointing that he was under, that he can come and speak to us so we can receive exactly what he spoke. Because many people, they say, well, Brother Branham was confused here, and he was wrong here, and he got this all mixed up, whatever. The problem is they're not under the same anointing. They're not. Because if you're born again, if you receive the new birth, then the anointing that you have, the life that's inside of you that came on the day of Pentecost, that takes up residence inside of you, then I can have confidence in that. You know, I can have, you know, because if it's the same life, it's the same life that lived in Jesus. Uh-huh. And if he takes up residence in me, then you know what? I don't put faith in flesh. I'm not putting faith in this flesh. I'm not putting faith in flesh of a fivefold ministry, a man. Why? Because God resides there. And there's a gift been placed in there, an eternal predestinated gift that's been placed in there for God to speak to us. And you know, then I can trust that God spoke, because you know what? If they had an eternal predestinated gift that, of a man that came, that was born in 1906 or 1909 in Kentucky. And everybody talks about, well, you know, we've had God in our day that stood in flesh. That came and was born in a log cabin in 1909. Little man. Then he came and he had very little education. He come out of the backwoods and all these things. And we look at his life and everybody talks about the things. But you know, God had a supernatural gift in this man's life. And he began to speak. And he began to confound all of the intellectuals of the day. And he began to take the things that came out of the scripture. That was preached so many years that people's been preaching and looking at, and he began to bring these things out, and he went right back to the scripture, went right back to the Old Testament, and he began to bring those things right out of the Old Testament. And just like Paul, when Paul was there and went back on the backside of the desert, was back there, and he studied all of those years. He began to study the Old Testament. But when the Holy Ghost came, then he began to read the book, a brand new book. And he began to see those things that were written in the Old Testament. And he began to bring them through. And he began to show that Jesus Christ was all through the Old Testament. And he began to show Jesus Christ in our day. Well, then when Brother Branham came, he went right back to the Old Testament. He picked up the Old Testament, showed Paul exactly what Paul preached was exactly what was in the Old Testament. So when he went beyond the curtain of time and he came back, he said, I preached exactly what Paul preached. Why? Because he started in the same place that Paul did. And he just came all the way through. And when he came in our day and began to preach exactly what Paul preached, why? Because he began to open up the Word. Because it was the same foundation that was in the beginning, and he began to build on that. So if it's the same one that began, it's the same one today. Well, I can have confidence in that. But see, the problem is people don't receive the new birth. They don't get to the place where they can have confidence in God. Because you know, if you have the same spirit that he had, then you, that he said he will lead you and guide you into all truth. So we can have confidence in what God said all the way through the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. But the problem is we've got to dig into that. We've got to search and lay before God till he gives it to us. But many people, you know, they're just hunting quotes. But the problem is just like I was thinking the other day that, you know, you see people, they get so tied up in all these things. And you know, they've read all these things. Oh, I've read that. Oh, I've read that. I've read that. But you know, I was thinking about years ago, I'd read the message, the masterpiece, and it's been, I don't know, 25, 26, I don't know exactly how many years. It's been a long time. But I just finished, and it's the first time I can remember here this happening to me. I just finished reading the message, the masterpiece, and I was watching a video somebody had loaned me, and it was Brother Harold Hildebrandt preaching. And he was actually preaching the message, the masterpiece. And he began to preach, and he began to open things and say things, and I was like, I don't remember reading that. I don't remember. And it was so amazing because I went and got the book while I was watching the video. I stopped it, and I was like, oh, yeah. And I began to read, and you know, all of a sudden, all these things that I had read, you know, all of a sudden, I'd missed these things, and things all of a sudden, then all of a sudden, it became clear. There were things that began to open up. It's like, wow, you read it, but it didn't become a reality. All of a sudden, it opens up like, wow, that stands out. But because you begin to see things, but it takes the Holy Ghost to do that. And people's like, oh, no, I'm just going to get it all on my own. You know, but I can tell by my own experience how God has blessed me through the fivefold ministry. So, amen. But God has called us to a place. God wants us to get into the Word. But you know, God has given us men to lead us. And I thank God because God has given me, and you know, everybody has to find their own place. You got to find who, because Brother Brown said, God give you a pastor that'll lead you and guide you. You've got to find a place that's right for you. You got to find your place. So, you know, I found my place. I ain't worried about nobody else. Y'all got to find your own place, you know. I'm here and I'm Brother Dale's problem. So, amen. So. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, Brother Dale said one time years ago, he said, you know, they, you know, if he's in the army, he said they always give the really toughest sergeant, he'd always give them the ones that were the toughest to deal with. Right. Yeah. It's always the tough nuts. And all the problem, they'd give them the hardest. Well, praise the Lord, he got it. That's all right, we're going to make it. Lord knew I needed more rapture and faith than the rest of you, so God put me in the right place to get more rapture and faith. So, but God's called us to this place. God wants us to get into the Word. God wants us to be the Word. God wants us to find our place. And God wants to reveal Himself to us. But the thing is you've got to have that desire. You've got to have that place. You've got to get in there and feed on the Word. That the Word, that you can become the Word. And as he said, you know, you've got to go out there and you've got to get that manna. But God's given us the manna, but are you going to eat the manna? Are you going to eat the book? Because God has called us on a path. God called us on our journey to a certain place that God wants us to be. You know, as we were talking last time, you know, when we're talking about Elijah and you know, the widow woman, and you know, how the condition that the widow woman had gotten into, and you know, here was Elijah sitting by the brook, and the ravens were feeding him, and he was drinking from the brook Cherith as he sat there, and you know, he was enjoying himself and having a quiet time, and she was down there struggling in the town, trying to figure out how she's going to feed her and her son, and they would, you know, just become, get so worried and all these problems, but you know, she didn't realize that God had a plan. God had already provided for her, but you know what? She didn't realize that the way that had been provided, she just didn't see it. And God tells Elijah when he's sitting out there, he said, I've prepared a widow woman to sustain you. Now she couldn't even sustain herself. She was all worried and confused and all these things, but you know, God had his prophet sitting up there and just relaxing and going through all, until the brook dried up, and then God sent him down there to her, and he began to speak the word to her. And when he began to speak the word to her, here she was in the midst of a famine and all these things that was going on. And he said, give me a drink. And you know, she was, and she was willing to give him a drink of water in a famine. And she be, and she was willing. And then he said, well, make me a cake. And that stopped her in her tracks. But you know, he told her, said, you know, she, because she said, listen, we're going to die. We're going to starve to death. I'm going to make this a little bit. No, listen, I want you to listen. Make me a little cake first. And if you follow if you believe what I have to say to you, said you'll never want. The meal will never run out. The crew will never go dry. And you know, she went out there and she made that little bit for him. And you know what? She was able to sustain them in that time just by following the simple instructions that Elijah had, that God had already provided. And brothers and sisters, God has already provided for you and me. He's already provided everything that you have need of in this earthly journey. But the problem is we don't want to let go. We want to try to figure out things on our own, or we want to have some kind of control on our own. And not realizing that, you know what? None of it belongs to us. You know, I think of the prodigal son. You know, the prodigal son, when he went out there and, you know, and he must have had a pretty good living. You know, with everything that he had, and, you know, and he decided, hey, you know what? I'm grown. I got the answers. I'm going to do my own thing. And he's like, then he told his dad, hey, he said, give me my portion. I want mine. Give me mine. I got this. I'm ready to go make my own living, ready to go do my own thing, you know. And, you know, no doubt it broke the father's heart to do that, but that's what he wanted. You know, the father knowing what was going to take place. Because if you're not equipped to handle the situation, you're going to miserably fail. And so, you know, he took on his living, and then he went out and it said, you know, he lived, you know, riotous living. He spent all that he had. Why? Because he had no plan. He had no foundation. He had no purpose in what he was trying to do. He's just like today in the world that we live in this generation. It's just, hey, we're going to do whatever feels good. Yeah. Yeah. We're just going to meet our needs, whatever satisfies, whatever tickles my funny bone or whatever. You know, that's all we're going to do. Oh, yeah. And I have no plan. But the next thing you know, it sees the worst place that a Jewish boy could be is down by a pig pen.
Right.
Down there with a bunch of hogs and trying to feed them. And said that he would feign to eat from the husk that the pigs were given.
Right.
And said, but no man would give to him.
Right.
Here he was, you know, come from all this, had a great father, had a great background, you know, had a good home and everything. No, I got to do my own thing. And then he ends up in a mess.
Yep,
and then he's down there starving and trying to figure out how in the world he's going to do. And he said, you know, I got to go back home. I got to go back to my, you know, he said, my father's servants are at home and they got bread and some to spare. And he said, you know, they're not going hungry, but I'm down here dying. I'm the son of this man and here I am dying.
Right.
And his servants are better off than I am.
Yep.
And he said, you know, he came to himself and realized the condition that he was in. And he's like, well, I'm going to go back to my father. And brothers and sisters, we look at the day that we live in and people wonder why things are the condition that people are in. And you know, I'm going to meddle a little bit if y'all don't mind. And I thank you very much. But, you know, we live in the condition and people wonder why they're in the condition that they're in. And you know, I just want to meddle for a little bit. But you know, people wonder why they can't get ahead. People work. And you know, as Wade was talking about the other day, being the boss and, you know, trying to have employees and take care of things. Well, you know what? If you've got an employee that won't do what they're supposed to do, you know what? They soon find themselves on the street.
Yep, yep, that's right, man. Come on. Right.
You're not going to have them around because you don't need them.
Right.
And you know what? Brothers and sisters, the Bible tells us that we are stewards.
That's right, brother.
What is a steward? A steward is somebody that has something that takes care of something. They don't own it. They take care of it. They manage it. The Bible tells us the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and it adds no sorrow to it. But you know, we got people out there that you know, they wonder why they can't get ahead in life. Why? Because they don't follow God's plan.
Amen. Exactly.
When God has blessed us, and you know, I was listening to somebody the other day, and they were talking about, you know, people's like, man, I wish I had $1 million. You know what, Brother Wayne? I wish I had $1 million. I wish I had $1 million. Man, what I could do if I had $1 million. And you know what? People don't realize they've already had $1 million.
Yeah.
If you sat down and take the money that you've made over the last 20 years, you've already had $1 million. Some people have actually had more than $1 million over the last 20 years, and they ain't got two nickels to rub together.
Right.
And they wonder why they ain't got anything.
Right. Yeah.
Well, you know, but one of the problems that people have is they rob God.
Right.
You know what? You don't pay tithes, then guess what? Then you can't have any blessings.
Right.
He said, prove me. And see, he said, oh, and I'll tell you something else. This is what the Bible says, so you have to deal with that. The Bible says to bring your tithes into the storehouse.
Right.
It never says send them.
Right.
It says to bring your tithes into the storehouse, not send them. That's what the Bible says. Bible says to bring your tithes into the storehouse.
Yes.
Bring.
Amen.
Not send.
Right.
But you know, there's a lot of churches, you know, they like to have their website and everybody just, you just swipe your debit card online and,
yeah,
and you can send it.
Oh, yeah.
I might step on some toes. I might get hurt after that, but it's still the truth. That's just what the Bible says. I don't know. Y'all handle that however you want to. But people don't pay their tithes. People don't believe in giving to God. And the problem is they get their eyes on man.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to give money to him.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what? You're not, if you're giving money to, if you got your mind on the man, it's like, well, I'm not going to give my money to Brother Dale. Then you know what? You're not getting the blessings of God because you're not applying the word right, because it's giving to God, not to a man. If you think, well, I'm going to give it to Brother So-and-so or Brother So-and-so or whoever you give it to, if you want to send it to Jeffersonville or whoever they plan on sending their money to,
right.
The problem is if you're not giving it to God, it's wrong.
Exactly right.
Amen.
So we've got to have our mind, because, you know, the problem is people are so bound by things that are in their mind and not realizing that, you know, God is in control of all of it. It's God's, not yours. People want a lump sum of money and not realize that, you know, talk about Brother Wade here, you know, having a business. Well, if Wade had a business and you had somebody that was working for you and they were managing three people and they couldn't manage three people and they couldn't figure out how to get everything done, you wouldn't give them 12 people to manage, would you?
No.
No. They'd
be gone.
Yeah. They'd be gone. Well, some people, you know, they go, Lord, give me $1 million and I'll show you that it won't ruin me. God's give you $500,000 over the last 15 years and it's ruined you.
Right. Right.
And people wonder why. And, you know, and it's the same way in the gospel. Now, you know, you look at the scripture when it comes to money. Well, you know what? We're just going to live high and mighty. And you know what? And the problem is it leads to a destruction. But it's the same way with the gospel. The problem is people want to, you know, I just want to come and hear the pastor. I'm just going to hear come. You know what? I'm not going to pray and I'm not going to read and I'm not going to do anything on my own. I just want you to give it to me, Brother Dale and Brother Wade and Brother Bob, Brother Luis. I'm just going to come and I'm going to let y'all give it to me. And I don't have to do any study. I don't have to read. I don't have to do anything. I'm just going to come and I'm going to soak it up. Well, let me tell you, brothers and sisters, you know what? It would be so simple if we could just learn by osmosis.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
We just, you know, I would just make a bed of the message books. I just make a pillow of the message books and I could just sleep on. I just wrap myself in the message.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
Put a message book on each ear. Just.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's what, you know, it's so simple because I would just have to lay down this way.
Yeah, there you go.
But you know, it's a battle. It's a struggle.
You got that right.
Amen. You know, if it was just so easy, well, you know what? If it was just so easy, you know, Brother Wade, we could just take the Bible, we could just tear pages out of it and just say, we're going to eat the book. If that was that simple. But it's not. But God gave us a way. How do you get closer to God? He said to pray and read your Bible. We need to be listening to the Word. If we get into the Word, then you know what? The Word gets into us. God can have communication with us. But the problem is if we don't ever do that, how do we expect to grow? How do we ever expect to get anywhere with God? God has blessed us, but sometimes we get our minds so wrapped up and we don't even realize what God's blessed us with.
Right.
You listen to people. We listen to people like Dave Ramsey, and you know, I listen to people. You know, I think I got it bad sometimes, and realize, you know what? I ain't got nothing. It's like, man, the conditions people are in. But you know, God has given us a way. And it's so simple. And it's so simple. And you know what? People struggle with it. And it's so simple. Because you know what, Brother Wade? If somebody was dying, if you had somebody that was dying and you told them, say, listen, you're not going to make it. And this is what you're going to have to do. You're going to die. And if you plan on living beyond this point, this is what you're going to have to do. And this is your plan.
Yep.
I'm going to give you the prescription. And here's the things you got to do. Well, you know what? If you were concerned about your health, if you're concerned about living,
yep.
Then you know what? It wouldn't matter. You know what? Hey, I got money. It's like, oh, well, the doctor wants me to juice. Well, you know what? By George, I'm learning how to juice. And if the Lord wants me to, or the doctor wants me to take this stuff over here that's, you know, cost $1,000 an ounce or whatever, then you know what? I'm getting it. Even if the insurance don't pay, if it's going to get me well, I'm going to take it. And there's people that sell their houses and their cars and everything else to get what they need to make it. Why? Because life is precious to them. And you know what? There's nothing going to stop them from taking what God, you know, what the doctor tells them. But you know, the problem is when God gives you a prescription, let me tell you, this world is not going to last. We don't know how much longer we have, but you know, like Brother Branham talking about, California, he's like, all that lays under here is a honeycomb. And he said the judgment of God is resting out there. And he didn't know how much longer it would be. He said, it's like that scientist said, he said, it's not if it's going to happen. He said, when it's going to happen. And let me tell you some brothers and sisters, there's a rapture coming one day, and it's a true thing. It's going to happen. And you know what? None of us are promised tomorrow. Young people, you're not promised tonight. You don't know when you're going to be, and you think you can ride on mama and daddy's coattail or somebody else's coattail. Listen, you get to a certain age, you're going to come to the age of accountability. God's going to speak to your heart, and you're going to have to give an answer to God. I can't answer for you. Brother Dale can't answer for you. Mom and daddy can't answer for you. You'll have to give an answer for yourself. And let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, to be lax in the hour that we live in, and you know, because you know, we can get wrapped up in so many things, but you know, we've got to be to the place where we stand up and we get desperate on what's going on and how we're conducting ourselves to be ready in this hour. God has blessed us, but God has called us to a holy calling. God has called us to a place that we fulfill the word of God that God has called us to. But the thing I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters, tonight, God has said, He said, taste and see that the Lord is good. He wants you to try Him. He wants you to prove Him. Why? Because He's there and He wants to prove you. He wants to show you what He's got. But the thing is are you going to go in there and accept it? Are you going to take him at his word? Are you going to do what God wants you to do and fight the battle? And whatever it takes, you do what God wants you to do and you me, because God will give you exactly what you have need of. He makes the condition. As Brother Luis was preaching sometime back, you know, when Peter was there, he said, Lord, if that's you, he said, then bid me to come. Well, you know what? He didn't say, well, listen, Peter, I want you to do this. You may have a problem though. No, he didn't give him nothing else, but he told him to come. That's all he told him. He said, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come. Well, he didn't give him no conditions. He said, come.
Right.
And you know, it's so simple. It's the same way God does. He tells you know, if you're going to take it, Lord, I need healing in my body. Yep. And you know, I'm so tired of being sick and tired. And whatever I'm facing, and you know, I've got these aches and these pains and all these other things. Well, you know what? God is still the healer. And the thing is you've got to drive your stake down and make your claim and make your testimony sure. And that, and so, well, you know, whatever God has done there, but you know what? You've got to take him at his word. Then you stand up and you confess what God said. And then, you know, every time the devil comes at you, I ain't got time to listen to that. Get behind me, Satan. I ain't got time to listen to that. I'm healed. That's the reason I like singing that song. I am healed. I am whole. From the top of my head to the soles to the tip of my toes. He said, Isaiah 53:5 says we are, and if we are, then I am. Why? Because he said it. 1 Peter 2:24 says we were, and if we were, then I am. Why? Because he said it. Then all I got to do is believe that. And I, you know, that whatever I have need of, then God will meet my needs. But you know, the thing is I've got to claim what God has done and say, Lord, what do I need to do? Because God will lead you along the way. And you know, so many times people get to a certain place and they don't know where else to go.
Yeah.
It's like they're between a rock and a hard place. Well, the good thing is God's there in the rock and the hard place, because that's where God wants you to be, because many times God can get your attention now.
Yeah.
You get to the place that God wants you to be. It's like, well, Lord, I made a mistake. Lord, I made a mess of this thing. Well, you know what? That ain't the time to give up.
Right.
You know, now's the time. Just like the prodigal son, when he was sitting down there and down there with the pig pen, guess what? The Lord's speaking to you. Now it's time to wake up. Come to yourself, you know, turn around. You're just like, well, everything's a mess. I don't know what to go. Well, you know what? It takes a journey of one step. When we come to the place that we realize, then we go from there. We don't spend all our time worried about what took place in the past or trying to figure these things out. We need to move forward with God. God's called us to a place. We need to move on with God. Amen. Scripture tells us, I love that scripture. It said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him from all of his troubles. I mean, you know, when you cry out to God, when you have a need and you need something, then you know where to go to get your answer. God can give you the answer exactly what you have need of. God is here to meet your need, but are you actually going for it? Because the manna is here. God, the manna has fallen. God has given everything that you have need of is here in the Word. But the thing is do you take the prescription? Have you raised up and accepted what God has given you?
Right.
Let's stand, because you know, it's so amazing, you know, because, you know, if I had $1 million, if somebody gave me $1 million, you know what? I got $1 million. And you know, some people get excited about that. You know, hey, I got, you know, look what I got. Look what the Lord blessed me. I got $1 million. You know, I got $1 million. I'd have, you know. You know, some people's like, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Well, let me tell you what. That don't sound like too much like joy, but you know, it's just like I was talking about one time. You know, you drive up to South Carolina, you go down to Athens. You got people going down, you go down to Clemson. Boy, got purple and orange everywhere. People driving cars with tiger tails hanging out the back. They got them paw prints on everything. I mean, people got a tag on the front of their car. Their watches got a tiger paw on it. You know, everything, hat, shirt, pants, everything. Tiger, tiger, tiger. You go down to Athens, it's all UGA, Bulldogs, red and black, red and black. Everything, Bulldogs, yeah. Everywhere you go, wherever you, whatever team they got, you know, everybody's got their Atlanta Braves and whatever other team, you know, boy, it don't matter where they're at, they got all their stuff. Man, let me tell you what, I got a guy at work, and that's all he won't talk about today with baseball. Braves, 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 son. You know, after a while, you just get tired of listening to it. But you know what? He's excited about something. Yep. Something drives him. He got a passion for something. Yep. And you see all these people, man, they got a passion for something. Well, let me tell you what. It didn't matter. Like I told him one time as a man, that he was a tailgater from the Alabama, University of Alabama. You know, he's a tailgating man. Man, it didn't matter. It was all about tailgating. I told him, I said, man, if they played football on the moon, man, he'd be trying to drive out RV all the way to the moon because he's going to be there and he's going to tailgate because Alabama's there. But let me tell you something. People come to church and not realize the God of all heaven, the God of all creation that fills all time, space, and eternity comes to meet us on Sundays and on Wednesdays and speak through our brothers and, you know, these, and speak through the message that God has sent. And you know what? People have so, they don't even realize what God has done. And it's like, well, you know, it's just Wade. It's just Brother Weeks. And you know, and not realize it. God has come to meet you. You know, no wonder when, you know, when we sing the song, we are standing on holy ground. Oh, yeah. Do we actually believe that, or is that just words? You know, we are standing in His presence. Yeah, right. If you believe that He's here tonight, then you're in His presence. Right. And He is here to meet your need. He come to meet you. Because He said, wherever two or three are gathered in My name, I'm there in the midst. Amen. So if you've got a need, if you've got a question, if you've got a concern, whatever it is, He's here. But you know what the thing is? It breaks the Father's heart when you leave out that door and you don't get your need met. Right. Yeah. But you know what? God is here to meet your need. But the problem is, have you come to receive from Him?
Right.
You know, when the woman with the issue of blood, when she came, she didn't even have a word to stand on. There's no place in the scripture says if you touch the Savior's garment, you get healed. But you know what? She believed inside of herself. That you know what? She, no doubt she had heard and seen the things that Jesus had done. She didn't even have to have Him touch her. She didn't even have to touch Him. All she had to do was touch the hem of His garment. When she got to the place that she was so desperate, when she desired so much that everything else was gone and the only thing that she had between life and death was Him.
Right.
She got to the place, she said, if I can but touch the hem of His garment.
Right.
Brothers and sisters, a child of God doesn't have to go that far. His desire is for you and for you to have all things. It's His pleasure to give you the kingdom. Brothers and sisters, let's be faithful in what God has called us to. Let's be faithful in what God has called us to. I want to take what God has. That's the reason I love that quote. It's probably one of my favorite quotes in the whole message. I love it. And it's that lady that had the Bible. And her son, you know, was sending those little postcards, and she just thought they were pretty pictures, and she just stacked them in her Bible. Starving to death, had needs. Charity was trying to take care of her, trying to figure out everything. But it took somebody to come and show her what laid in the Bible. And when they began to show her, all that she had need of laid right there in the scripture, but she didn't see it. You know what? God has come in our day to show us What we have need of lays right here in the scripture. Whatever you have need of. Like, Lord, I want to be closer to you. Lord, I because the word for a body change lays in the word. It's right here. God called a group of people that would come and not taste death. Paul said, we that are alive and remain. Behold, I show you mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Then, Brother Branham said, it's been spoken. The word, the rapture came. And he began to speak and told the scripture. Now let it be fulfilled. He preached the rapture to show us that the rapture was here. It's not, everybody had it all confused and everything, but he began to show God has descended.
Right.
To show God is here.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And not really, because the word has come. Right. And now we've received the word that we can go into a rapture.
Amen.
The word has come for a body change.
Right.
But brothers and sisters, we have to receive that.
Yep.
And believe that.
Amen.
So God bless you tonight. Let's all stand. We can receive the word that we have need of. I'm ready to get out of here. Thank you, Lord. If you have a need tonight, you don't even have to, come up here to ask for prayer. Come, you musicians, come on. But you can stand right where you're at and receive what you have need of. There's so many times, I can tell you where I was at when God spoke to me. There's been times in my life when God has spoke to me, and I can take you to the exact place. When the Lord spoke to me years ago on Genesis 12, talking about Abraham and leaving your father's house and going out, and he said, I'm going to take you to a place. And he said, those that bless you will be blessed and those that curse you will be cursed.
Right.
And I didn't fully understand what God was trying to tell me at that time. But I knew God was trying to take me on a journey.
Yeah.
Where I was at was not where I was supposed to be. But there's a lot of things you don't understand. But I can take you to the place in Tennessee. I can take you to the exact spot where I was sitting in my truck when the Lord spoke to me about that. I can take you to the exact place when I was praying for Brother Dick that time, and I can take you to the exact spot where I was at, when I was in the truck. And God told me, Brother Dick, he said Lazarus was dead 4 days and Brother Dick hadn't made it that far. When Brother Dick was fighting cancer, and I was so burdened by that. And it was like, that's right. I don't have to worry. I don't have to fear about it. Why? Because God had it in control. Because I think that's all God wanted me to do. God gave that burden to me, but I gave it back. Because I thank the Lord, Brother Dick's going to be fine. But I can take you to that exact spot where God spoke to me. Where God has spoke to me at different times in my life and give me answers to things and showed me things that were in the Word. And all of a sudden I can take you to those exact spots. I know exactly where I was at. And And God wants you to have that same spot, because you can go right back to this. When God give you the new birth, you know exactly where you stand and when God give it to you. When God speaks to you, when God speaks to your heart and gives you, opens the word to you, you know exactly where you're sitting, where you're standing, where God, you know what God's done for you. And so whatever you have need of, God spoke to you this far, He'll lead you on.
Amen.
God bless you tonight. We'll sing a song.
139, He abides. Amen.
Amen.
I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the pilgrim way, for the hand of God in all my life I see. And the reason of my bliss is just a secret, all is this, that the Comforter abides in me. Sing night and day as I walk the narrow way for the My heart was full of sin. Once I had no peace within, till I heard how Jesus died upon the tree. And I fell down at his feet, and there came a peace so sweet. Now the Comforter abides in me. Oh, he abides, he abides. Hallelujah, he abides in me. And I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk their way, for the Comforter abides in me. He is with me everywhere, as happy as a bird and just as free. For the Spirit has control, Jesus satisfies my soul, since the Comforter abides in me. Oh, he abides, he abides. Hallelujah, he abides in me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides in me. There's no thirsting for the things of this world, they've taken wing. Long ago I gave them up, and instantly all my nights turned to day, all my burdens rolled away. Now the Comforter abides in me. He abides, hallelujah, he abides in me. And I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides in me. What can wash away my Jesus? What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that blow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen. God bless you tonight. Amen. Do we have anything? Bible study? Praise the Lord. Back again. 6 o'clock. Amen. God bless you tonight. And just pray for each one and each need. And I think about the ones that Sister Cleta and Sister Tootsie and all of them. Continue to remember all of them. Ones that are watching in. May God bless you each one. Thank you so much for your, when y'all pull, it makes preaching easy. So I appreciate it. And, you know, you have to do your part too. So I appreciate that. And, you know, sometimes you go places and it's like, you know, I don't think I want to preach here again. But I love being at home, so I appreciate each one of you. So God bless you tonight. God be blessed this week, and remember each one. So let's just all bow our heads. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this night, Lord. We thank you for all your blessings on us. Lord, for the word that we've heard, Lord, that you... Lord, you stir up our pure minds in a way of remembrance what you told us, Lord. Lord, just help us, Lord, to be faithful. Lord, let us just have that drive and the zeal and to cast everything else aside, Lord Jesus, that we can run this race that you've given to us. Lord, let us be faithful in all that you've called us to do. Father, we just pray for each one tonight, Lord, as they go home, Lord, I just pray that you be with each one. Lord, bless the week and all the things that they have to do. Lord, working and school and different things, Lord, we just pray that you be with them. Lord, watch over and keep them. Lord, just bring us back Saturday, Lord. We're just so thankful, Lord, that we're able to come back and have Bible study again, Lord Jesus. And Lord, just continue to touch each one that's sick, Lord, and afflicted, Brother Danny and the different ones, Lord. We just pray that you just bring them through, and we're just so thankful for all that you've done for us. Lord, we commit all things to you in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you. Dismissed.